The first lesson for today is from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The second lesson for today is from the third chapter of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, continuing the themes of raising and transforming, we read from Genesis and John today. Almost immediately, God says to Abram, "I will make of you a great nation." In other words, I will raise you from what you are to something even greater. Jesus speaks to us in the Gospel of John, telling us, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Son has come to transform the world instead of condemning it for what it is. What is important to realize in that these God improvements we hear about, while they certainly improve the lives of the one, they're only a portion of the outcome. God says explicitly to Abram, "I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Jesus doesn't state it outright here, but we know that everything he did, every person he restored to community, every healing, everyone he taught, they were all the beginning of a better community. Next week's reading with the woman at the well is a perfect example. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. As we actively work in this season of Lent to turn our faces to God, what are the ripple effects of our contact with God? How might you imagine God working through you to others? This can seem a tremendous weight, being a vessel for God's work in the world. It could run us ragged if we believe that we have been put on this earth to make the world a better place. There's a measure of truth in it, but only Christ, the one given by God, is capable of making the whole world a better place. Our corner, our part, might even be just making the world a better place for one or two other people. This is how Jesus worked with the Samaritan woman at the well, and how God worked with Abram. By being changed themselves, they impacted the people around them, who impacted the people around them. This is where the all-important Spirit comes in. We must allow room for the Spirit to work. Our being in the world is always in tandem with the Spirit, who can and does transform even our most mediocre attempts into elevated moments for others. Preachers know this especially well. We hear of deep insights or moments of grace experienced during sermons which made it to the light of day only because it was Sunday morning and there was no time left to bring any other word. I am never one to absolve you from working for good in the world, but I am bound to remind you what God said to Abram. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Nowhere, nowhere does God give Abram a task list of the things he must do first in order for God to make him a blessing, for God to bless those who bless Abram, for God to bless all the families of the earth. We don't read that God sent Jesus in order that the world might be saved through him as long as we do this, that, and the other thing. There's a full stop in each of these readings. God will do. Jesus will do. We don't cause the birthing by the Spirit any more than we caused our own earthly births to come about. I think we are far more prone not to sit back and let God do it all, but to take charge and tell God we can do it all. Or maybe that's just me. Our seeds we planted last week to my right can teach us a great deal about how we work with God. They aren't working hard on their own agendas to grow. Instead, they're responding to the nurturing elements for growth around them, working in conjunction, not fighting or taking a direction of their own course. They have absorbed water. They have warmed up. Their kernels have expanded in response. In this Lenten season, then, I encourage you to not only turn toward God, but to allow God to work on and in you, to join in the choreography that is already spinning the stars and making the rivers rush. So may it be for you and for me. Let us pray. Great God, free our hands from the controls that we might go where you lead and enjoy your company along the way, we pray. Amen.